Well, we do this pretty much every Friday, but wouldn't you love to escape into a dark, air-conditioned room to watch a movie today of all days to escape the bad news? The Depression actually created Hollywood back in the 1930s. People went to movies when they could find solace nowhere else. We're going to talk movie escapes with our traditional voices of the movies. Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, Takeaway Movie contributor and co-host of the Takeaway Movie Date podcast. Good morning, Rafer.
Morning.
And Kristen Meinzer, Takeaway Culture producer and co-host of the podcast as well. Kristen, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk about the biggest release. It's a remake, kind of. Well, it's actually a prequel. It's a
reboot.
Different take. A reboot, that's a good one, of the Planet of the Apes franchise, which was probably one of the first sci-fi franchises to really jump the shark.
Right.
Wouldn't you say? But it was Escape.
And then it was a TV series.
Conquest.
Exactly. Yeah. Conquest of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
Planet of the Apes, like,
Son of
inhales
Planet
New
of the
York.
Apes.
Yeah, exactly right. And now we have something that's surprisingly serious called Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and it opens today. We're going to actually talk with the star and the director of the movie a little later on in the program. But first of all, let's get your take on Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I have to say, I think most people, like you, probably remember the hokey Planet of the Apes from the 60s and the early 70s. Sure, which were fine.
It was all about nukes.
Yeah, exactly. This is the not hokey Planet of the Apes, at least in my mind. I thought this was a really amazing film. I think it looks fantastic. I think technology has gotten to a point where the apes look almost photoreal. Andy Serkis, who's famous for playing Gollum, the motion capture Gollum, plays the lead ape, Caesar, and I think he's like, I hate to say it, he's probably one of the best performances of the year so
really?
Far. I mean, he's amazing as this ape, doing it all mostly without words. I think it's great, and I think the whole movie is just electrifying and fun and just really enjoyable.
Sci-fi, but more plausible than the outlandish original.
Plausible might be a stretch.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It's just, this is still, there's Planet of the Apes is still in the title. I mean, this is definitely still, you know, a sci-fi film.
Let's get Kristen's take here. Is this a plausible escape from all the bad news to go into the theater?
Absolutely.
You're going for it.
Yeah. I did not expect to either because I've never seen the other Planet of the Apes movies all the way through. I've just seen those really corny clips that get played over and over again on YouTube.
I know, because you're so young and you're Gen whatever it is.
I had no idea what to expect, but I thought it was fantastic. And I agree with Rafer. Andy Serkis was great. And James Franco was great. I think if there was any weak link in this movie, it was just Frida Pinto, who I think is lovely, was kind of thrown in as an afterthought. I don't know why she was in the movie, actually.
The humans generally get a little overshadowed by everything in the movie.
Yeah. The apes are so far superior to the humans in the movie.
You know, one of the issues that comes up in some of the writing about this movie is that it attempts to create this idea in the mind of the so-called prime species on the planet of its awareness of its dominance, that that if you can become aware of your dominance, there's a responsibility that comes along with that. It evokes the sort of Al Gore climate change, we got to preserve the planet kind of thing. Mm. Do they pull that off without getting excessively sort of heavy?
I'm not sure that's the message I got. I mean, the movie seems to be when it really gets into gear, and it definitely takes its time in this wonderful way, but when it really kicks into gear, it becomes something of a prison film. You know, Caesar lines up in a primate facility, and so it becomes a little bit of a prison film, and then I think in some ways it becomes something like The Making of a Revolutionary. It becomes like Che or something. You know, it's a little, I'm not really getting a message of with great power comes great responsibility from this movie.
I only semi-agree with you, Rafer. I think that this is a lesson movie also about humans choosing to abuse what power they have.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All the Planet of the Apes movies, I guess, ultimately have that kind of underlying message, right? That this is your fault.
If the
reason
humans
this is
would
happening.
Just be a little bit more decent, none of this would be happening.
Right. And we've got to ask you, Kristen, this. Does Franco go seamlessly from Pineapple Express to being a scientist?
Oh, yes.
No kidding.
A very, very handsome scientist.
There is
so
a guy.
Handsome.
There's a guy with range. All right, let's go to Change Up, starring Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman as two men in a kind of male Freaky Friday scenario.
This is called a suit. You wear it every day, along with a necktie, black, not white socks, dress shoes, not shower sandals.
Please.
Of course.
These
underwear.
Are awful. Oh, come on.
No, 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 no more commando.
All right, that sounds like an escape, Rafer. Do they pull it off?
I was really looking forward to this film because I think it's aimed directly at me, at my heart. You know, the over 40 married guy who switches bodies with the swinging single, right? I did not think they pulled it off. I think it's, and I think the real reason is because they're going too hard for the raunchy comedy, the R-rated comedy, which is kind of the, everyone thinks is the golden ticket since The Hangover. It's written
That's
by the two Hangover guys, John Lucas and Scott Moore. But I think it just, I think it goes too far. It tries too hard. It's like the loud kid in your class, and
Kristen,
just, I didn't like it.
Oh God, so much gross out humor, so many boobies.
Yeah.
I have to point out Jason Bateman. I love him so much. Even he admitted on The Daily Show that the movie was quote crap.
Yeah.
All right. Well, crap is one thing, but gross out. You usually like some gross out.
I like some gross out, and you know I like stupid. You know
I
love stupid.
I know that.
But both of them had such awful lives also. I just didn't want either of their lives. And I think that added to how bad the movie was. If either of their lives seemed remotely interesting to me, then I think it would have been a lot better.
Yeah,
all right.
That's a problem in the movie.
So this last movie is really going to date me. The Merry Band of Pranksters of Ken Kesey is actually something I experienced when I lived in Oregon. Here they are back in a sort of a historical look back. Here's a clip from Magic Trip.
We weren't old enough to be beatniks, and we were a little too old to be hippies. Everybody I knew had read On the Road.
It stirred us up.
So we decided to go travel across the country.
Since it turned out that there were so many of us, we decided we'd buy a bus.
It was like a troop of minstrels.
What did you think?
I thought it was fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's a period of time that's really, really an interesting piece of American history.
Yeah, and this is the real footage that the Merry Pranksters shot while they were on the bus. I mean, this is your chance to get on that bus and really
go with them. It's a real documentary.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. They pieced, you know, hours upon hours of footage together, remastered it, tried to match audio with the visual, and it's a little messy, as you might imagine. A lot of drugs floating around when you've got, you know, with the Merry Pranksters, but I thought it was fantastic.
Magic Trip, Change Up, and Rise of the Planet of the Apes, three suggestions for escape from Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
We need an escape. What's your escape movie, given the tough headlines we're seeing? 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Help us escape, won't you?
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.